Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. Today's podcast is brought to you by The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. Now, obviously, I have my own podcast, but I am a consumer of content. I love great business shows that help me take my business to the next level. So if you are ready to accelerate your entrepreneurial journey, you have to dive into The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It is presented by Carbon 6. This is the driving force behind today's top e-commerce solutions and growth tools. Join Tim every week as he explores the cutting edge of business growth, from transformative digital marketing strategies to the emergence of new brands. The Growth Gear provides insights directly from the forefront of the industry. Whether you're a startup founder or a seasoned executive, this podcast offers the tools and insights necessary to propel your business to the next level. Subscribe to The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan on your preferred podcast platform and start turning insights into actions. Get ready to shift into high gear, The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It's your guide to accelerated success in a hyper fast-paced business world. Welcome to the 10-Minute MBA. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. On the 10-Minute MBA, I give you tools, tactics, strategies, and insights that you can use to start, scale, grow, and 10x your business. Let's get into it. Today, we're talking VC pitches. If you're an entrepreneur, you probably think of this as a super terrifying, high stakes game. And honestly, you're not wrong. But there is a fundamental truth to pitching VCs. It doesn't have to be as scary as it seems, because VCs are really looking for stories at the end of the day. They're not looking for spreadsheets. They're hunting for the next big thing, an idea that's really going to change the world. And if you're confident in what you're building, if you're confident in your product or service, all you have to do is figure out how to package it up, and you have to shift your perspective. You are doing the VCs a service by giving them the opportunity to invest in your company. And if you do not package it up properly, if you don't listen to what I'm going to talk about today, You are doing the VCs, investors, angels, and yourself a disservice. Now, as an entrepreneur, you may not be raising money right now. However, it is still important to think about, what if I raise money in the future? So even if you are not raising millions at this very moment, I want you to listen to this episode, because it's going to summarize how to package and pitch your business. Because understanding how to pitch your business is understanding the language of business. It's about storytelling. It's about persuasion. It's about identifying what makes a great idea truly great. So whether or not you're pitching to investors, customers, future hires, your own team, this is so important. So let's get a little tactical. What do VCs crave? Pretend that you are going to go raise money. Assume that when you're speaking to a VC venture capitalist, every person they speak to is going to say, hey, my business growth is going to hockey stick up and to the right. What does that mean? Well, it means that, of course, you're going to project that you're going to be successful. Everyone's projecting that they're going to be successful. And of course, a VC loves a good hockey stick growth chart, but that is table stakes. This is what actually gets them excited. The first thing that you just have to think about when you're going into a meeting, these aren't even like nitty gritty tactics. These are just high level concepts and thoughts. VCs love a founder's obsession. They want to see the fire in your eyes. They want to see that unwavering belief in your mission. If you're not obsessed with your idea, why should they be? Second thing they want to see in your presentation is a market ripe for disruption. A huge market is nice, but an inefficient or an overlooked market is even better. VCs love the underdog story, the company that spots the opportunity that others missed. And that opportunity that others missed is actually the highest success rate of an entrepreneur. It is somebody who has lived and breathed an industry for X period of time, and they can spot something that no one else can spot. VCs also love an unfair advantage. What makes you different? What's the secret sauce, the proprietary tech, the exclusive partnerships that give you an edge that the competition can't easily replicate? What's your moat? And then lastly, teamwork makes a dream work. A solo founder might be a romantic notion and idea, but VCs really want to see a balanced, experienced team that can actually execute the vision. Bonus points if you've already done this once before, but I know for many people listening, this could be your first rodeo. So on the flip side of what VCs love, this is what VCs hate. First thing, the everything to everyone syndrome. So trying to please every possible customer is a recipe for mediocrity. Focus on a niche, nail it, then expand. If you haven't figured this out yet, this is what's going to take your business to the next level. Jargon-filled monologue. No one likes being bombarded with buzzwords. Speak in plain English. Be authentic. Let your passion shine through. They hate unrealistic financials, so VCs are smart. Don't insult their intelligence with these wildly inflated projections, these wildly inflated TAMs, total addressable markets, saying that it's a $2 trillion opportunity. Be honest. Be realistic and show that you understand the risks and show that you understand the percentage of the market that you can actually capture if you build this business. Yeah, it's great if it's a $1 trillion market, but chances are you're not going to capture 10% of that, right? And lastly, they hate the I know everything attitude. Arrogance is a major turnoff. It shows that you're not coachable. It's okay to be confident, but be open to feedback and admit what you don't know. Humility goes a long way. And remember, at the end of the day, you are looking for people who are going to put money into your business and are going to own a piece of it. They're going to be your partners. So if you're an asshole or they're an asshole, you're not going to want to work together. Now, you understand conceptually how to approach a VC conversation. And once you sort of put your mind in the right space and you understand what VCs are looking for and what they hate, you will at some point have to reach out to a VC and pitch them. Now, there is an art to pitching a VC, and it starts way before you step in front of them. It's more than just a presentation. It's more than just a 10-minute slide deck. It's about building relationships. It's about establishing trust. It's about showing that you're the kind of founder that they want to back for the long haul, because I guarantee you there will be rocky parts to your business. Shit will hit the fan. Things won't always work out. And you do not want to have a combative relationship with your VCs when something doesn't work out well. So first, before you even pitch them, you want to do your homework. You want to research the VC firm. You want to research their portfolio, their investment thesis. You want to tailor your pitch accordingly. To even increase the chances of somebody responding back to you if you're asking to pitch them, you're going to go to something like Crunchbase, and you're going to see VCs that's operating in your space, in your industry, in your category. Their investment thesis is focused on the type of company you're building. You're not going to go pitch a CPG company, a consumer packaged goods company, to somebody that only invests in clean energy, for example. You can also see what type of round that VC firm invests in. Some VCs invest in pre-seed, some invest in seed, series A, series B, series C. What are similar size checks that that VC firm has written? Is it an amount that would work with where you're at in your business right now? If you approach a VC firm that only writes $100 million checks for Series A consumer packaged goods companies, it doesn't matter if you're a CPG company. They're going to be way too big for you if you're only raising $1 million or $2 million. So put some effort into the research, show that you know what you're doing and that you've done the due diligence, and respect that the VC firm is not a one size fits all. There's going to be certain firms, funds that are hyper-targeted towards what you're trying to build. Those are the ones that you actually want to work with. Outside of the fact that there's a higher chance that they're going to have a positive response to you reaching out to them, they're also going to know the most about your industry if they play in this space at the size company that you're at. So they'll be much more helpful in the long term than dumb money that doesn't know anything about your industry. After you do your homework, you need to understand how to tell a story. Facts and figures are important, but they're not enough. You want to craft a compelling narrative that makes them feel something. Remember, you are selling the idea of your company. Yeah, you're not selling to customers, but you are selling. And people always buy with emotion, and then they justify that emotional decision with logic. One more thing that you should do before you even step in front of a VC is prepare for the hard questions, because VCs are going to grill you. So be ready, but that's okay. Anticipate their concerns. Have data to back up your claims. Practice your answers. And lastly, after you do pitch, follow up and then follow up again. The pitch is just the beginning. You want to stay in touch. You want to share updates. You want to build that relationship over time. If you are a first-time founder, there is a high likelihood that if you are raising money, it will be a full-time job. So prepare yourself for that mentally, and as well as allocate the time required. But know that you're going to build relationships with people that are not going to invest in you in the next month, but they could invest in you in the next 6 months or 12 months. That's okay. Business is a relationship game. So whether or not you're a seasoned entrepreneur or you're just starting out, understanding the pitch game is crucial for anyone looking to build a successful business. It's a skill, it's an art, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride, but when done right, it can be the catalyst that takes your idea to the next level. And I also want you to think about all the other benefits of learning how to pitch and doing the things I just told you to do. Yeah, it may not be for your seed round, but what about your Series B? Or what about when you want to sell to private equity much later on? There will always be a pitch involved when you're building a business.
Now, one secret weapon that I always include in all my pitches and all my stories is authenticity. It's not just a buzzword. It really, really matters. It is overlooked far too often when you're dealing with VCs because you feel like you have to be perfect. You feel like you have to have this manufactured presentation. But I'm talking about real, genuine human connection. VCs aren't robots, even though some of them may try and convince you otherwise. They're real people with emotions, biases, and their own unique experiences. When you're pitching, do not be afraid to show your personality. Share a personal anecdote. Share a funny story. Even share a moment of self-doubt. It makes you relatable. It makes you memorable. And it shows that you're not just a pitch machine. Remember, authenticity is like a magnet. It attracts people to you. I'm not saying stumble over your words. I'm not saying don't know your numbers or don't know your facts or don't know your market or don't know your business. But ditch the corporate facade. You have to let your true self shine through. Now, let's move on to the meat and potatoes. Let's move on to the pitch deck. Everyone has a love-hate relationship with the pitch deck. I'm gonna tell you how to make a pitch deck work for you. So let's be candid with each other. The pitch deck is like the bane of every entrepreneur's existence. It's a necessary evil. It's a tool that can either make or break your pitch. And when something can make or break your pitch, that means it can make you a lot of money or lose you a lot of money. Now, here's the thing. VCs see hundreds, if not thousands, of pitch decks every single year. So how do you make yours stand out? First off, you want to ditch the fluff. Nobody cares about your mission statement or your company values, at least not in the first 10 minutes. Get straight to the point. What problem are you solving? How are you solving it better than anyone else? Second, keep it simple. Don't overload your slides with text and complex diagrams. Use visuals, graphs, charts to tell the story. Remember, a picture is worth a thousand words, especially in a pitch deck.
If you are building a business, you need to care about efficiency. You need to understand what your business is doing on a day-to-day. When it starts out, it's a little bit easier to do this. When it starts to grow, things start to get chaotic. NetSuite is a host of applications that help you understand the performance of your business, drives major efficiency gains and cost savings. I've been working with NetSuite for a few months now. They are one of my favorite softwares that I truly believe any business that earns a few million dollars in revenue up to tens and hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue has to consider. If you are working in an organization of that size, things are going to get hectic at some point. NetSuite by Oracle is going to help you out, and they have rolled out the best offer that I've ever seen them roll out. So NetSuite really does give you visibility and control that you need to make decisions faster. Think about it as a COO that gets real-time insights and data into what's happening in your business and what's not going so right so that you can fix it ASAP. It's costing you millions of dollars not to fix these issues that you may not even be aware exist. Now, for the first time in over 22 years, NetSuite is deferring all payments on a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite. So take advantage of this special financing offer at netsuite.com/ScottDClary. That is netsuite.com/ScottDClary to get the visibility and the control you need to weather any storm. Thank you so much, Indeed, for sponsoring Success Story. For all business leaders out there, Indeed is a lifesaver. See, we're always driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. You're going to ditch the busy work and you're going to use Indeed for scheduling, screening, messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Clary. Just go to Indeed.com/Clary right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Clary. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Third, tell a story. Don't just present facts and figures. Weave a narrative that takes your audience on a journey. Make them feel the pain of the problem, the excitement of the solution, and the potential of the market. And if you really want to understand how to create a good pitch deck, I'm talking like slide by slide by slide by slide, go look at other companies that have raised tons of money and look at the pitch deck that they used at the same stage as where you're at now. So do not go look at someone's Series C or D pitch deck when you are raising $500,000, when you're raising a pre-seed or a seed. Go look at someone else's pitch deck that was also raising $500,000. Go look at your favorite tech company's early stage pitch deck if you can find it online. There are tons of great resources for this. If you Google best pitch deck examples from famous companies, you will find examples. So no excuses. Go look at what the best in the business do and what's actually worked to achieve the objective and the outcome, which is raising money. Now, after you pitch, there will be Q&A. This is where the real fun begins. And I want to just get you a little bit prepped so you know what to expect, because the Q&A session is really where the rubber meets the road. The VCs are going to try and poke holes in your idea and see how you react under pressure. The key to surviving the Q&A is preparation. It's preparation, preparation, preparation. Anticipate the tough questions, have data to back up your claims, practice your answers, but don't just memorize scripts. Be flexible, be open to feedback, and be willing to admit what you don't know. Remember, Q&A isn't an interrogation, it's a conversation. These people want to work with you. If they're asking questions, it is a good thing. Use it to build rapport with the VCs. Show them your thought process and demonstrate passion for the problem. Now, this was a very brief, high-level introduction to pitching to VCs. There's so much deeper that we can go into. However, we got 10 minutes today, so I will tackle individual topics and how we navigate different VC relationships and how much money to raise and different parts of pitch decks and different types of rounds and different types of people you can raise money from and how to structure different deals in the future. Those are all great topics, not for today. But before we wrap this up, I just want to talk about the long game. The pitch is going to, for most of you, be just the beginning. It's the first step in a very long journey, and the step could be very long as well. I want you to mentally prepare yourself to pitch. And if you are trying to build a company, it is going to be difficult to do that while pitching at the same time. What I mean by that is sometimes raising money is a full-time job. So do not take this responsibility lightly. If you're going to go raise money, expect to commit tons of time to it. Expect to commit to 1,000 different outbound emails or DMs on LinkedIn or DMs on Twitter or hundreds of calls to get maybe 50 or 100 meetings and then maybe 10 to 20 follow-up meetings. You get the point. It's going to take a lot of time for most of us to get the results that we need. And we still want to be targeted when we do this. It's not just a spray and pray approach. A lot of people, especially first-time founders, massively underestimate how long it's going to take them to raise money. They don't give themselves enough time, and they're trying to build their business while raising money on the side, and they don't do either successfully. So just give yourself time and give yourself longer than you think you need. Also, last tip when it comes to raising money, always raise more than you need to give yourself run rate so that you don't run out of money and you don't have to go raise money again in 6 months. Because again, raising money is a full-time job. So the longer you can operate your business without having to switch focus to raise money, because as a founder, you do not have enough money to hire an investment banker to go raise money for you. You got to do it yourself, the better. The less time you spend raising money, the better. Ideally, if you raised money and you could take your company to the point where you could hire someone to raise money for you the next time, that would be ideal. However, life is never ideal, and startups certainly aren't. So just know, raise more than you need to last yourself longer than you need so that you don't have to raise ASAP. Now, after you pitch, after you get in touch and speak to the VC, before COVID, it was usually in person. Now it's probably going to be in Zoom, maybe in person. But the point is, you want to stay in touch. This is not a one and done. For the life of the relationship, it'll never be a one and done. You're going to share updates. You're going to send progress reports. You're going to ask for feedback. You are building relationship. You're showing them you're serious, and you're proving out that you're worth their investment. Again, this VC may not invest in the next month, but they could invest in a year, or maybe they're going to invest in the next round. Right? These are real relationships you're building, and these are real business partners that you're going to go and do battle with every single day. And if you find the right VCs, they are going to support you through the thick and the thin and the absolute shit hits the fan moments that are undoubtedly going to happen to you as you're building your business. A word of wisdom that pertains to raising money, relationship building with VCs or otherwise, and just entrepreneurship and life in general. But building a successful business is truly a marathon. It's not a sprint. It will take tons of time. It'll take tons of perseverance, and it'll take a whole lot of hustle. But with the right mindset and the right team, you can tackle anything you set your mind to. You're an entrepreneur. You're built for this. Now, I just want to touch on a few pieces of the post pitch that you will eventually have to learn about. I'm going to briefly review them, and I'm not going to give them the proper depth that they deserve. However, at least you'll understand at a high level what to expect after you pitch and say somebody is now interested in your company and they're interested in investing. So after a pitch, there will be due diligence. This is the deep dive. This is sort of moving on to later stages of the game now. So when your pitch has sparked some serious interest, you will enter the world of due diligence. Due diligence is where the VC rolls up their sleeves and they really dig into their business. They're going to look at your financials. They'll scrutinize everything. They'll analyze your market. They'll vet your team. Maybe they'll even talk to your customers. It's like a colonoscopy for your company, and it can be pretty uncomfortable. But here's the thing. Due diligence is your chance to shine. It's where you can prove that you're not just all talk and that you've built a solid foundation for growth. So how do you prep for due diligence? And you can think about prepping for due diligence before you even pitch, because you know you're eventually going to get there. Get your house in order. Make sure your financials are accurate. Your legal documents are up to date. Your team is ready to answer any and all questions. Be transparent. Don't try and hide anything. Be upfront about your challenges, your risks, your weaknesses. Be upfront about everything, because if you raise money under false pretenses, you will get in a lot of shit. I'm serious. If you're being sued, let them know. Let them know everything. Third, tell a consistent story. Your pitch deck, your financials, your team, and your customers should all tell the same story. You should always have uniformity across your brand and all your marketing, your sales, all your communication. However, it is also important when you're speaking to VCs that everything ties together. Due diligence is a two-way street as well. That's a thought. So it's also your chance to vet the VC firm. Ask them about their investment process, their experience in your industry. That's major. You do not want dumb money and their expectations for your company. You don't want to blitzscale. If you don't want to blitzscale and they want you to blitzscale, well, you better get on the same page because it's going to really suck if they want 100x ROI on their investment in 5 years and you're planning on building a nice lifestyle business. So get on the same page, right? Remember, due diligence isn't just about getting the check. It is about finding the right partner for your journey. After due diligence, congratulations. Guess what's next? Term sheets. This is a fine print. This is why it matters, because if you are dealing with term sheets, you've made it to the final stage. The term sheet is a legal document that outlines the terms of the investment. Again, there's going to be a lot of depth that I'm not going into today. However, I want you to understand that this will be on your journey. The term sheet is going to be full of jargon, full of clauses, full of fine print. It can be super intimidating, especially if it's your first term sheet ever. So do not let the legalese scare you. The term sheet is your chance to negotiate the best possible deal for your company. And you do negotiate. Here are some key things to look out for. Valuation. This is how much the VC is valuing your company. It's important to get a fair valuation, but don't get too hung up on it. A lower valuation with the right terms can sometimes be better than a high valuation with bad terms. However, I would recommend you speak to some mentor that knows the specifics of your business and your market and can really help you out, or even a lawyer, right? Ownership. This is how much of your company the VC will own. Be careful not to give away too much equity too early. This will really tie into valuation and how much money they're putting into the company. So if they say, for example, I'm putting in $1 million at a $10 million valuation, well, do the math, they own 10% of your company. Now, there's nuance to this. There could be pref shares, or there could be different classes of shares, or you could have a safe agreement in place. There's a variety of different ways to do this, but that's for a different day. You should also consider control. So this is who gets to make decisions about your company. Make sure you retain enough control to run your business the way you see fit. I've seen more entrepreneurs lose their company to VCs that are aggressive than I would like to see. So just be aware, you can, if you're not careful, raise too much money that you actually lose your business. And then lastly, liquidation preferences. So this is how much money the VC gets back if your company is sold or it goes public. So be careful not to give the VC too much preference over other shareholders, AKA you, and maybe someone else who put in, your uncle that put in a pre-seed round. So negotiating a term sheet can be tricky, but it's important to have a good lawyer, mentor, peer on your side that's done this before, who can help you understand the terms and negotiate the best possible deal. Remember, the term sheet isn't just about money. It's about finding the right partner for your journey. It's about getting a good deal. You can take money that's a bad deal. You don't want that. You want to choose a VC who shares your vision, who believes in your team, who is willing to work with you to build a successful company, and is okay with a deal where both parties benefit. So there you have it. This is the introduction guide to the VC pitch from start to finish. But like I said, the pitch is just the beginning. It is the first step in a long and very challenging journey, but with the right mindset, the right team, the right partner, you can achieve anything you set your mind to. You're an entrepreneur. You are built for this. So go out there, pitch your heart out, tell your story, show your passion. Don't be afraid to be yourself. The world is waiting for your next big idea. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got some value out of that. Make sure you come back tomorrow for another business lesson on the 10-Minute MBA. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching
my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. Today's podcast is brought to you by The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. Now, obviously, I have my own podcast, but I am a consumer of content. I love great business shows that help me take my business to the next level. So if you are ready to accelerate your entrepreneurial journey, you have to dive into The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It is presented by Carbon 6. This is the driving force behind today's top e-commerce solutions and growth tools. Join Tim every week as he explores the cutting edge of business growth, from transformative digital marketing strategies to the emergence of new brands. The Growth Gear provides insights directly from the forefront of the industry. Whether you're a startup founder or a seasoned executive, this podcast offers the tools and insights necessary to propel your business to the next level. Subscribe to The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan on your preferred podcast platform and start turning insights into actions. Get ready to shift into high gear, The Growth Gear with Tim Jordan. It's your guide to accelerated success in a hyper fast-paced business world.